I'm at the Limerick Institute of Technology in Clonmel, County Tipperary. Not sure how that works. That will be explained to me in a minute. I'm surrounded by great and brilliant minds. On my left, I have Bernie Goldbach, who is a lecturer here. Bernie, what do you lecture in and what have I just done? Who have I just met?
It's a creative multimedia program, and you've met students from first through third years. There might have been a couple fourth-year students in there as well. And they were listening to you talk about digital storytelling. We're hoping to make them into digital storytellers. So.
Very good. And I've got it's Mark, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Mark, who was doing all kinds of digital storytelling bits and pieces. You were in charge of video feeds. What are you majoring here, Mark?
Well, I'm on the Creative Multimedia course. I'm a year three in that now. I'm hoping to get out and do a bit of wartime photography or video. So hopefully I can actually learn. I've learned something today from yourself, Roger, about...
That's what I hope as well.
Somebody learned something somewhere.
I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to ask you two questions. I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to be really unkind. First of all, if there is somebody in the audience listening today who could help you with your dream assignment, what is your dream assignment? What would your dream job be? Just in case somebody's listening going, I can help that boy out.
I would actually absolutely die if somebody offered me a wartime assignment, either Iraq or any of the riot zones in North Africa, doing either video or photography, just being behind the camera, any kind of motion.
You realise people get killed doing that, don't you?
Yeah.
What on earth, Bernie, what are you doing to these people? What on earth is the attraction of a war zone?
It's just, you know, there's so many stories, you know, whether they be good stories, bad stories, and that always seems to intrigue me. Also down to the fact of, you know, literally a spark point, one person throwing a rock can turn into 10 tanks being on top of somebody. And I want to be able to tell the world that story, you know, tell from it. One perspective, I know probably at this point with YouTube and Google and all that can be told from 100 million perspectives, but even if I get my little perspective out and let people know that this happened on this day and some people knew about it, and, you know, I don't know, just the idea of being able to tell a hard story that not everyone can tell.
Which side of a divide would you, because if you're talking war, there's always, it's a conflict.
Yeah.
And you're talking Afghanistan, somewhere like that. Now, which side of the story interests you more? The side of the story, our side, if you like, or the Taliban side? Where would you ideally like to be telling the story from?
I'd like to be in, as hard as it is, being unpartisan and unbiased in it, and let people make up their own decision as to what the outcome of the story is. But, you know, the Taliban have their side of the story, and it is as balanced and as true as any other side of the story could be. I hate to say it, the Taliban do have good things that they're fighting for, but at the same time, obviously, they have things that I, as a Westerner, can't agree with.
Now, we were talking about in the lecture about making, you know, doing things yourself, going out there, making connections to make this happen. And I think a lot of war correspondents, freelancers, actually start off that way.
Yeah.
And go out, maybe not even attached to a magazine or anything like that. Is this something that you would consider doing yourself now?
Well, when I was in first year, I was actually assigned by Bernie. I did a piece on the student march back in, will be now 2011, and while in the middle of it, an absolute riot did actually break out to the point where people's lives were actually at stake, by being either crushed by a crowd surge or by being beaten by police, which people were. And my video footage was actually used in a case against the Gardaí. So it was, you know, something that I went out and I actually enjoyed, and that's kind of where I got the whole premise of that. And I just found it just so interesting going out there, and it would be something I'd love to do again. Obviously, going to something expecting a riot? No. But going out and telling people stories, getting out there and trying to get the unbiased opinion, getting as many sides of a story as I can.
Just on that, Bernie, does the course that you teach here, does it involve things like ethics, journalistic ethics, storytelling?
Yeah, we're trying to, I mean, I try to bring an ethics, half hour of ethics into every 10 hours. Try to do that. And a lot of the ethical questions are actually more closer to hand, like it's privacy, their stuff, the expectations, the responsibility comes with creating and sharing and embedding their content or others' other content. And that's kind of where we go. You get too ethical. I mean, if you can get too ethical, if you're too theoretical about it, it won't be remembered. But what people do remember is what they've created and that someone else has borrowed without permission, somebody else who's repurposed them, their own image, and put them into a place where they weren't. That kind of side of the responsible digital behavior.
And because there is this thinking that actually as a journalist, you can't just leave your own value set at the door. Mm. And that actually the stronger journalism comes from people who actually say, well, this is my value set, this is how I connect with this story.
Yeah.
And you know, there is going to be a bias because it's going to be my bias and I can't tell the story any other way. Do you touch upon things like that in the storytelling aspects of the course?
Well, everyone brings a bias in. You try to give people an appreciation of what they're actually seeing, hearing, touching, or tasting, smelling in an environment. And you can alert them to the fact that, wait a minute, maybe they're not seeing the whole story because they're not attuned or aware of what they should be observing and annotating and documenting. So I give a little, like I have a first year assignment which involves providing a digital identity to a house. But it's the house with something in it, a picture on the wall, a fireplace that's burning briquettes, not coal. All those elements of what makes that house. And then maybe jumping a generation with what the house used to be, what it used to represent, and who else used to live there. So we teach that perspective by trying to accentuate or attenuate people's receptors to what's in that environment that they're missing. And then we get a better story as a result.
Interesting. So, Mark, have you got a year left on your course?
If I choose to be, I can finish at the end of this year, or I can go on for another year. And at the moment, I'm very hard pressed which way I'm going to go. So, I make my decisions literally day by day at the moment. And we're in then.
And is there a photography
module
that you can do in a video module?
Well, we've already completed all the photography modules and we are on our way at the moment. One of our modules at the moment is video. Working on live video as well as incorporating different elements into a live and static video.
If I could jump over there, because Mark's not just the only person thinking, I mean, three people this week have asked me, not sure about coming back, why should I? And I'm turning it in, I've become a walking billboard. And maybe I haven't said it strong enough. So this would be for Mark, anybody else who wants to copy his idea. I believe there are jobs out there that you can fold right into by using the fourth year to build a portfolio that leads into that. So like Mark, in your case, if you came back, I'd say, all right, so we're going to put our head down, and we're going to get the 6,000 or 8,000 euro commission from the Broadcasting Association of Ireland to produce content. And that will be part of the fourth year project. But the money will be coming in too. And that's the kind of thing, you know, it's possible to sit down and say, pitch me, lads, pitch lecturers, tell me why I got to come here. And more than that, make sure I'm not going to be starving when I'm here. So where is the money? Show me the money. Give me the opportunity to prove I can do it. And work with me on that.
I think
only one out of every four students do that in the fourth year, though. They actually get monetized.
And that's an important thing in a course like this, because you're teaching people outlets for their creativity, but at the same time, you need money. It's got to pay, as you say. You need money to do these things. You need money to, and if the course can have that, I mean, that's a really valuable thing. If you're able to build that into a fourth year and say, look, we will teach you how to unlock the purse strings and how to get commissions.
Well, man, I would like to do that. I mean, it's for Mark and anybody else that wants to do audio production for Broadcast Spectrum. I'm convinced the money's there. You got to pitch three times to get one. But that's a good pitch point. That's a good pitch ratio to get to that. I think we could get it. It may only be 3,000 or 4,000 euro. But I think it could be 6 or 8. You just got to start it, pitch it, see where it goes, roll it into the fourth year project.
Well, I think, and the thing is, I mean, when you get out into the outside world, I mean, 6 or 8 grand for a radio project, which can be produced in a month. I mean, that's a month's living money to live off. Mm. So you can produce a piece of content that is going to be broadcast and used. I mean, that's okay. Yeah. It's not millions. It's not going to make you rich, but it will get the job done. There'll be production money, and there'll be money to feed you.
There'll be contacts you make with production specialists who want you to do a bit of work for them for hire. That's the big thing. To unlock that independent radio producer special room, and you're in with the professionals who want you to be the cable guy, and they'll pay your day.
Yeah. That's a very good point, actually, because then the course is adding more than just the piece of paper that you get, the theoretical. You're actually coming out of the course with contacts, and a contacts book is where it's at, really. If you're able to connect with people and they know your work, because getting through the door is half the problem. That's an interesting point. Mark, what do you think of the pitch that Bernie has just made to keep you on for another year?
He's some salesman anyway, there's no doubt about that.
But the money part is important.
The money, I do agree with him. As a student now, I've been in the higher education system now for nearly 7 years. I started a course, flunked out, and I've kind of been floated around, and then I found this place, and I kind of found my heart in here. Prices have gone up and up year on year with going to college, what you have to pay, and that's a real off-putter for any student, especially when you've been building up a debt for 7 years, be it accommodation, food, the odd night drinking. But, you know, there's... If there could be some way of getting a commission over the summer and being able to work on that and be able to make the money to come to college and be able to make the content and the contacts in the fourth year, then I'd have absolutely no reason not to come back. But it's getting that content and getting that pitch, and just even finding the time to make that between doing year projects that do take up to 300 hours of your time in a 4 or 5 month period.
Well, there's Gary Vaynerchuk has a book called Crush It, and he outlines exactly how you can achieve what you want to achieve while having a demanding day job on the go at the same time. It doesn't make for pretty reading. It also comes from somebody's pen who is himself, I think, somebody who only needs 4 hours sleep in a day and is an energetic dynamo. But, I mean, he lays it on the line. He says, if you have a day job that you need... it's taking up time, you're going to have to do this work between 8 o'clock in the evening and 2 o'clock in the morning. That's when you're going to have to work on these other projects. It's was a real eye-opener to me. Seth Godin, another person who's very well known in the business marketing sphere, he doesn't watch any television. And when everybody else is watching TV, he blogs every single day, and he writes books and he produces a massive amount of content because he does stuff when other people are switching off. So it's a tough thing, it really is. I mean, I'm not saying it's easy, but yeah, you look at those two guys and they basically do the stuff around the hours that they're left.
Yeah, I'd say if you want to do it and you know that you believe that the horizons are brighter as you go down each step of the way, you just got to take the Vaynerchuk advice or focus, find the time, carve out the time and just do it. And Mark, you're driven by passion with a lot of stuff. I mean, like, but some people, you'd be going absolutely nuts and doing best lighting or best camera angle or take 25. You eat it up because you understand that you get a kick out of that. You know, you'll skip meals because of that. That's handy to know if indeed what you're producing at the end has a value, a portfolio value or a cash value. So, anyway.
That's really good. I'm going to put you guys both on the spot, and because I can't actually delete this out, so I'm going to be brave. Did you learn any? What was the thing? Your takeaway from the lecture that I gave?
Targets. I've been told targets, 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 but it just sometimes you just need to see it up on a board to know. Look, if you don't set a target, you don't get anywhere, and you know. I remember back in first year, one of our lecturers, Marie, she actually put up on, she said, right, you have to write a 5-year plan now. This is what you're going to do in the next 5 years, what you're going to do each year, year on year, and have it set up. And then in 12 months' time, you're going to stop again, rewrite that 5-year plan, and keep rebuilding and rebuilding. And it just kind of reminded me of that, and needing that.
I have a buddy who makes a really good point about that. He says, look, positive thinking, and you could equate setting targets with positive thinking. Positive thinking gets you nowhere.
Yeah.
Positive action.
Yeah.
Is what he recommends. Now I was going to ask Bernie what he thought of the lecture, but he's walked away. Oh, he's back. Oh, I can't pretend to be Bernie. I was going to give the answer. Bernie, what did you think? What was your takeaway?
Okay. I don't know if you actually said it this way, but what I read and what I heard my mind saying is, you are responsible for your network effect. So you hammered home power of contacts and networks and people and kindness. No, you are responsible for your own network effect. And, but add a postscript to that, if every day of life you haven't added to that, you're probably on the wrong part of the social graph. And it's up to you to shift the time and attention to get the better network effect.
Yeah, and I think I'm big on responsibility and accepting that successful people didn't get there through luck. They got there through recognizing opportunity and reacting to that opportunity in a particular way. The big story is always Microsoft was the second company to be approached by IBM to produce an operating system for IBM's planned desktop computers. The market leading operating system company was approached by IBM at the time. So they had all the luck because IBM rang them up and said, can we have a meeting? They screwed up the meeting so immeasurably that they lost the opportunity, and the IBM rang up Microsoft and said, can you do this? Microsoft said, absolutely yes, hung up the phone, and then turned around and looked at each other basically and said, well, we better figure out how to write an operating system then. That's the story of Microsoft. It wasn't that they were luckier, because they weren't. Another company had that meeting. They just recognized the opportunity, made their luck, made their opportunity, and went for it.
That's right.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, guys. So much for inviting me as well. And, you know, Mark, good luck. If you do get out to Afghanistan, keep your head down, for God's sake. Don't come to any harm.
I've got to keep the chin strap on. Don't worry.
Simon Norfolk. I did an interview with Simon Norfolk, the documentary photographer podcast. Listen to it. He has a guaranteed way how you will survive and not get killed.
There you are.
Listen to it. I guarantee he's a great speaker. I can recommend it.
And if anyone wants to find me on Twitter, I'm at Lynch3001, LYNCH3001 on Twitter.
Do you have a website at all?
My website isn't actually up and running, but one website I do have is Monte Carlo, MonteCarlow.ie. That's one of my blogging websites that I run locally, so...
And well done with the catch there, actually, Mark, because I was going to sign off without even doing that. Bernie, where can people find you?
I'm top goat on many good social networks.
And we won't tell you what he is on the not-so-good social networks. Thank you very much for listening.